Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And in this, Jesus says to us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the good news of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Good morning. This is your first time visiting. My name is Pastor Kenan Pickett, and I kind of work in the area of worship and arts here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We're glad to have you with us this morning. Some of you who know me know that I'm working right now on my degree in ministry and leadership development. And friends, I'm happy to report to you that I'm 6 weeks away from finishing. You think you're happy. I would ask that you keep my family and myself in your prayers as we kind of close up that chapter and open a new one. As I was getting ready to have a conversation with you today about the scripture that we just read in the Gospel of John, I read a blog from the president of the university that I attend, Dr. Piper. And Dr. Piper was writing about a speech that the President of the United States gave just a few weeks ago in the most famous vineyard of America. And it's not, surprisingly, in Napa Valley. It's where the president gave his speech. It is Martha's Vineyard. Right, exactly. So it caught my attention because I knew I was going to be talking to you about a vineyard today. And in it, the president had condemned the recent beheading of American journalist James Foley by the Muslim militants that we now know as ISIS. As one would expect, the president of the United States not only denounced that murder, he then proceeded to assure the American people that ISIS would ultimately fail. Because the future is won by those who build, not by those who destroy. But Piper challenged this idea in his blog, and he asked the question, is such optimism warranted? Now, I personally have that same question. Does the arc of human history always bend toward the good and away from the bad? I don't know about you, but when considering, for instance, the people of North Korea, I do not believe that the self-destruction of evil is in their minds. Do human beings always embrace righteousness and justice and decency in the end? Well, what about the 95 million people who have lost their lives under the banner of communism? I do not believe that the inevitability of freedom resonates with them. And what about those 12 million African slaves who were shipped across the Atlantic in slave ships? What about the millions of boys and girls in our society today that are sold as sex slaves? What about the people who are living in the Sudan and in places like Syria? Is evil as self-destructive and freedom is inevitable? If that's the truth, as implied by our leaders, then I believe that this question is a fair question. And perhaps our leaders would do well to admit that the evil that they so confidently believe will fail today has only failed in the past when it is stopped by the very Christian ethic that appears to be being dismantled in our culture, in our country, and in the world. Furthermore, I believe that God holds the answer and has a word for us from the book of John this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord. Lord, that you would put it in our hearts to know you and your word. Let it be your word. In Jesus' name, amen. By a show of hands this morning, how many of you know William Wilberforce? William Wilberforce, if that name, okay. William Wilberforce. The British slave trade ultimately failed because of the biblical convictions of a leader named William Wilberforce and leaders like him. Also, by a show of hands, how many of you know the name Adolf Hitler? Okay. Adolf Hitler, the Third Reich, ultimately failed because of the same biblical and moral assumptions made by leaders such as Franklin D. Roosevelt. How about segregation? How many of you remember that? Segregation. Okay. Segregation failed because Martin Luther King's had a willingness to model the nonviolent nature of Jesus Christ. And the list goes on and on. We know that freedom is not inevitable, as most of our leaders would suggest in their rhetoric. Right? We know that. We know that things do end badly and without goodness because we have seen those bad endings. Who in here has studied about those who lost their homes and their heads in the French Revolution? That one didn't go well for the church. And what about those 12 million Africans who were shipped across the Atlantic in slave ships? What about those millions of boys and girls who are sold in the sex slave trade? What would all of these people say if they were given a chance today? Can we all agree that they would have valued their freedom? Can we all agree on that? Just shake your head yes if you think we can all agree on that. Okay. Can we agree then that maybe, just maybe, Christianity might have something worthwhile to say, considering that Christians seem to have a track record when it comes to confronting that in the world which is evil? And as Christians, can we all agree that the thing that distinguishes us between everybody else is Jesus Christ? It's our belief in Jesus Christ, and it's our willingness and belief to live a life committed as Christ followers. Because who else can give life like Jesus? Who else can change a life like Jesus? Who else can transform a life like Jesus? And who else can offer freedom like Jesus? But we must first know Jesus. And then we must know what it is to abide in Jesus, like we heard in the scripture. And finally, we must abide in Jesus and then pray. And that's a lot harder than it actually sounds. Something else that's hard to do is growing grapes. It's a complicated business. As with anything agricultural, there are many conditions that affect the production of healthy, bountiful harvests of grapes. And this scripture from the Gospel of John finds us in a vineyard. Simply put, the vineyard is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for a place where we can all experience the presence of God in a powerful way. In the vineyard, God and all of God's glory tends to us, caring for us, nurturing us, tending to us, pruning us with tenderness and patience. God doesn't overlook any detail. God prunes away anything that's not useful in us. In fact, a reward of living in the presence of God is that our lives will bear much fruit. Therefore, it is important to God that we grow and that we produce. And in order to do that, this scripture says that we must be connected to the vine. Now, the vine is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who is speaking in the scripture passage. And make no mistake, there is absolutely nothing more that Jesus Christ wants more than a relationship, a personal relationship with each and every one of us. If you are here and you do not know that yet, then I want you to listen to this very closely because it may be the most important 15 minutes of your life. Now, for those of us that do know Jesus and plan on growing in any significant way going forward, whether that be in our knowledge or whether that be in our faith, then I want you to hear from God's word what it means to abide in Christ. Picking up in verse 4, Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Notice this word remain. It happens over and over and over in the scripture. We call it abide. This word in every use in this passage is from the Greek word meno. Now this is a really unique word because the remaining or the abiding or meno refers to places, times, and conditions. And I want to unpack that a little bit. Now, we've recently heard the tragic news of Robin Williams' death due to suicide, right? And our hearts go out to his family and his friends because I cannot imagine their grief. But suicide in our culture is on the rise. And those who are most at risk might surprise you. It's people the age 45 to 64. And the second age group in line after that is people who are 80 and older. There are many of us in this room who fit in those demographics, but if you don't, it's okay because all of those demographics are on the rise as well. Now, before I came to Stonebridge in January, I served the Central Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church. And at that conference's annual business meeting, I volunteered to set out in a little RV trailer. This little hot RV trailer in the middle of summer. And I volunteered to film testimonies about God's activity in the lives of the attendees of this session. And I wasn't sure what to expect because I had never done anything like that before. I knew, though, that it was going to be an interesting week when the first fella sat down in a chair right in front of me, stared straight into my camera, and said this: "The noose was already made. I had already tested it to make sure that it supported my body weight." Those words no sooner came out of that young man's mouth than the Holy Spirit's presence became absolutely tangible. And it just continued as he poured out his testimony and his story of his suicidal thoughts and his plans to carry those out. And he went on to describe, though, how God had intervened with a young Christian woman at just the right time. He ended up marrying that woman, and they have a little boy now. He's now in full-time ministry. In fact, he works at Cokesbury. You know what that is, right? The United Methodist bookstore. Other supplies, too. But have you ever been in a place like that in your life? I mean, maybe for you, it wasn't suicide, but maybe it was. But some kind of, you know, hopeless situation. Maybe for you, it was more of a figurative place in your life. Or maybe it was an actual geographical place, like on the map, somewhere in the world where you may have lived among the wrong crowd. Or the place could even be your own biological family. Sometimes those are dark places too. Minnow, this remaining, this abiding in Christ in these places that we often find ourselves, means to have a relationship and not to depart from it, because we are vulnerable to the dominion of evil, just like grapes are vulnerable to threats that may invade the vineyard. One of the enemy's tactics is to make us feel isolated, you know, make us feel alone, like we don't have anybody, so that all we see is the end. When in truth, if you are in Christ, you inherit the freedom of eternity. See how that works? You're no longer bound by the limits of time as the world understands them. And not only that, but Christ's response is never to leave us alone. No, he holds us close. He keeps us in his love continually for all eternity. So I want you to know that. Therefore, eternity and time is another aspect of this word, meno, this remaining and this abiding in Christ. Because once we make a decision to remain in Christ, we can be confident that we will endure all the seasons of life. All the seasons of life, without exception. So we don't have to have that struggle. We just need Christ, because Christ is raising us to new freedom. Now, we may also need to endure some people and some relationships. That's not an in-law joke, so don't get mad at me. In fact, there may very well be instances that we have to endure to survive, like the horrible stories that we're hearing out of Iraq right now. We may have to endure terrible things. On lesser of a scale, that could translate to a job that we dislike, but we need it in order to make ends meet. Or it may be a rough patch in our marriages. It might be that lonely feeling that comes with being single or even widowed. In this sense, abiding in Christ guarantees us that we continue to be. We don't perish if we're connected to the vine, you see. We are raised to the new freedom that trumps illness and disease, and it trumps depression, and it trumps circumstances and situations, and it even delivers victory over death. When we claim the promise of eternal life through the vine, when we do that, we are built to last forever. The world romanticizes eternity in its portrayal of everlasting death as a tormented vampire. In contrast, the fruit of remaining in Christ is our eternal life and the eternal lives of others that we lead to Jesus. It means that Jesus steps in and intervenes and changes things for all eternity. It means that Jesus transforms us and lifts us to new freedom. This change is the third component of the word meno. It speaks of our condition. In this sense, the word means to remain as one, or in other words, not to become another or different. You see, tomatoes, they aren't supposed to grow in the vineyard. And carrots don't grow on a vine. It is no coincidence that later in this chapter we read this: if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Don't you know that Christians all over the face of this earth right now are feeling the weight of that reality? But when we remain as one in the vine, the spiritual fruit that grows is the kingdom of God. It grows because we are called out of the world. It grows because you are chosen. It grows because you are adopted into the family of God. The kingdom has added a saint, and the saint has gained the Spirit of God. The vineyard grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and nothing can stop it. Not because freedom in and of itself is inevitable. It is not. But because Jesus Christ will use his lifting up of humanity, he will use us to accomplish that and bring us to a new freedom. And that is what Wilberforce was about. That is what MLK was about. And that was what that young Christian girl was about, who ended up to the man who was once suicidal. It is about Jesus living through us and lifting us and others into new freedom, to new growth, to newly produced fruit as part of our life in abiding in him. Verses 7 and 8 say, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, if you want to know right now, today, where you stack up in that, you know what the meter is? Prayer. It's prayer. Your prayer life is the gauge of your abiding and your remaining in Christ. What's interesting also about this word abiding is the English translation: stand, bear, stomach, take, tolerate, accept, put up with. You see, a life with Christ, that takes power. It takes power. And the only way to access God's power is through prayer in Jesus Christ's name. You see, prayer gives us Jesus, and then Jesus raises us to new freedom. Friends, living in the vineyard is the highest honor and blessing. You are under the watchful care of God, the God who made you, and you are connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ. And your spiritual growth is evidence of your daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, word of caution, think about your daily relationships and who you have them with. Some of the time that usually involves a spouse or some kids, maybe brother and sister, or some other family members. Some of you might see your coworkers on a daily basis. And as with any daily relationship, it cannot be taken lightly. Christ will love you always. But like my wife, Christ is right a whole lot more than I am. This is where the English translation for abide kind of puts a grin on my face. Because have you ever had a friend who's always right? And then you add on top of that, that we're talking about the Lord of all. Here's the warning. If you have an issue with authority, this remaining and abiding, it may take a little work at first. I can assure you, though, that a daily dose of abiding in Christ will leave you humbled at his majesty, just as I am. Humbled at his majesty. But that's not all, because Jesus has expectations too, you see. And these expectations are not to be taken lightly. So I want you to hear the weight in this statement. His expectations are toward holy living and righteousness. And his standards are set high. High. Because freedom, friends, is born out of high standards. There is, after all, a reason that we all ask, what would Jesus do? Right? If you're in a daily relationship with Christ right now, and there is something in your life that you do not want to involve Jesus in, then I pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal it to you right now. Because that's an area where God could do some pruning in your life and make you more productive. More productive than ever, in fact. And I hope that you would join me in that prayer, because praying in the will of Christ increases your ability to grow spiritual fruit. And my son's a little branch. His prayer life is kind of the Superman prayer life, you know. He thanks God for Superman. And that's okay. Some of us are comfortable leading corporate prayer. Some of you are terrified at the thought of that. But a maturing fruit, praying in the will of Christ, is an intercessor. These are prayer warriors who know the world as a spiritual battlefield. They know, just as the kingdom of God exists, so does the dominion of evil. And they are standing in the gap for the church. They are praying for the pastors and the staff, and they are praying for you as a congregation. They are praying for the ministries of the church to reach the lost and that the body of Christ would be discipled. They are praying for revival and for a movement of God's Spirit across the land, across government, across education, across the worlds of medicine and science. They're praying for the city and the state and the nation and then all nations. Their ministry includes the whole globe. They're even praying for our enemies. That's hard to do, friends. Think of that. Their goal is to turn humankind toward God. They're willing to do anything to make it happen. They're willing to stand up or lay prostrate. They're willing to do anything to ask God for what the kingdom of God needs. That is what the seasoned fruit of praying in the will of Christ can look like. But the lesson that we can take from that is that we just need to set a goal to pray more, to make it a bigger priority. Because prayer gives us Jesus, and Jesus raises us to new freedom. Nothing will keep you more in Christ's presence than prayer. Furthermore, nothing will cause you to abide in Christ more than praying in Christ's will. And if you want to be a world changer, if that's kind of where you're at, then come to Jesus and learn to walk like Jesus and learn to talk like Jesus and to sing like Jesus and to shout like Jesus. But more than anything, learn to pray like Jesus. Pray every day. Our world could stand some new freedom right now, yes? The question is, are you and I willing to abide in Jesus the way that Jesus himself described abiding in the Gospel of John? And what's at stake? What is our motivation? Well, look at our world. Look at our lives. Think about our children and our grandchildren. If your mindset is that we just need to leave that be, that's a heart that needs to be repentant. It really is. History proves that evil only fails when confronted with righteousness. Freedom is not inevitable. If we want freedom, we must fight for it, but more importantly, if we want freedom, we must pray for it. There is only one thing and one thing only that will truly raise us to new freedom, and that, friends, is Jesus Christ. Now, you imagine what it would look like for Jesus to raise us up and give us freedom over our circumstances. Think about how many lives may be changed when Jesus raises us up and gives us freedom over our struggles, and freedom over our depression, and freedom over our brokenheartedness, freedom from disease, freedom from addiction, freedom from our captors. But freedom is not inevitable. And things do go badly without goodness. In fact, without the correction of Christianity in the world is and has been a very different place. If you don't believe me, ask a current day Iraqi. Whether you're an atheist or an agnostic or an Anglican, you cannot deny that we live in a really radically negative world. And you must know that in all of humanity, only Jesus Christ has a proven track record of raising us to sustainable, life-giving, life-changing, life-transforming freedom. But we have a responsibility in that freedom. We have a responsibility in this vineyard where we are planted. We must first know Jesus. We must second know what it means to abide in Jesus. And we must third abide in Jesus and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, teach us, Lord, to pray. Teach us, God, how to abide in you. How to know your deep love for us, God. Teach us, God, how to remain in you. No matter what place we're in, God. No matter what season we're in life, God. We pray, God, that you would help us take hold of the vine, God, and hold on. Lord, help us to seek you in asking what we need in order to be your disciples and build your kingdom. Because you are the King of our lives. Help us establish you as Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.